We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Who is more important? Who should get more attention in the following scenarios? Should it be the star on the stage? Imagine that curtain drawn open. Or the guy sitting up in the scaffolding running the spotlight aimed at the star on the stage? Who is more important? The political candidate running for office, let's say governor, or the person in charge of his campaign? Who is more important? Who should get more attention? Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, or the Christian pastor talking about him? The Old Testament prophet forecasting him? Perhaps these questions appear to you as an example of a no-brainer. And yet, with the third scenario, some have struggled, even to this very day, to realize what they should have realized. We take as our example the men mentioned in a text from John 3. These were disciples of John the Baptist, who came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, 'I am not the Christ,' but 'I have been sent before him.' He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." Apparently, these disciples of John were rather attached to their teacher. They also seem quite concerned about a growing number of followers who are going over to Jesus, perhaps at one point disciples of John. John, of course, has to help them with the truth of the matter. He reminds them of something he had said to them before, namely that Jesus is the Christ, John is just the forerunner. Then he brings in this example of a wedding party. You've seen this before. There's a bride, a groom, and let's insert also the best man. The bride belongs to the groom, not the friend of the groom. Now, in the analogy that John was using, the bride would equal the followers, the believers, you included. Jesus is the groom, and John would be like the best man who is quite happy to see the bride go to Christ. To which he adds this statement, "He must increase, but I, John," or the Christian pastor, "must decrease." Let's think about that last verse and what it means for us today. Our pastors and teachers are basically in the same position as John the Baptist, even to the point of having what we could call a following, although it's not the same thing. The pastor has members in his congregation. The teacher has students in the classroom. Both pastor and teacher in a religious setting are responsible for getting these people ready not only to know, but to depend on the Lord as their Savior. Like John did, they point exclusively to Jesus as the one God promised, the one who came to take away their sin. Well, in our day, there is something of a challenge involved. People can't see Jesus anymore since his ascension and relate to him visually, which they can do with their pastors and teachers. This increases the tendency to place too much emphasis, focus too much on the messenger, too much attention given to the gospel preacher, either negatively or positively, rather than where it needs to be, on the one who sent the messenger, the one who saved the people, and gave the believers the gift of eternal life. It is certainly right and good for church members to be on friendly terms with their pastor. They should honor and respect him, give him their support, pray for him at all times. But above all, they need to see, you need to see, your pastor, teacher, chapel speaker as the extension of Jesus himself. When the messenger delivers law and gospel truths from the Word, the audience needs to hear it as Jesus talking. Everyone involved in this exchange should remember what Christ has said about anyone who speaks on his behalf. He who hears you, hears me. Likewise, pastors and teachers need to remember not only that they represent the Lord, but also that they serve faithfully when they deliver what the Lord has said from His Word. Nothing added, nothing subtracted. This, of course, is no mere formality. We can't just show up and go through the motions in the classroom or in the pulpit. There has to be preparation and study, careful thought, prayer, even the use of some imagination, visual aids, perhaps technology. Our task from the Lord deserves our best efforts to be His spokesman. And likewise, your best efforts to be the audience. And yet, none of that will make the law more effective as a true mirror of our sins, or the gospel more effective as food and medicine for the soul, no matter how engaging the preacher or teacher may be in his presentation. It does not even enhance a little bit what only the Holy Spirit can do inside a person's heart through the truth of God's Word. This is a good thing, that the power of the Word does not depend on the person who speaks it. In fact, it works in spite of the person who speaks it. When preacher and hearer both focus on the Word, when teacher and student both focus on that Word, then Jesus grows in His reputation, His importance in your heart, while the messenger, like John before him, fades into the background. That's the way it should be. That's the way it has to be. That's the way it will be when the Lord sets our hearts to see and hear Him through the messengers that He sends. Amen. We close our worship singing hymn 296, the first and the third stanzas. Stanzas 1 and 3 of hymn 296.
My soul will